We have Greg Foster with us this morning. He's going to share about the mission work that we help support in Liberia. And there's a wonderful history of our connection to that work there. And so Greg will bring you up to date on that. And we love having him come because Greg has the closest working relationship of that mission work there. And so having been there himself, it's wonderful when he comes and gives us an update, and there is a pressing need that they have that he'll explain to us. And when we mention that the silver box is out today, what we mean, if you don't know what that means, it is something we utilize to collect a special funds for this work. And so that's available. We only do that for mission efforts. And so anytime you hear us say silver box, that's just the box that's available. If you want to make a contribution to what's going on in Liberia, you can do that today as you leave. Thank you, Greg. Come on up.
So there's actually a history for the silver box. Now my question is it still the original silver box? Is it still the shoe box?
Yes.
So the history is that my wife's sitting over here. I just asked her a question. I said, when were your parents here? Because what's interesting is I remember watching my in-laws and saying, you know, oh, well, it would be nice to retire. And so, you know, they came out and lived here and took care of our kids when they were young, and now they have their own grandkids. And we did the same thing. We moved to North Carolina in 2016. That's when we left Sand Springs, sold everything, house over here, everything we had, and moved to North Carolina to take care of a newborn granddaughter. Well, during the time that her parents were here, my father-in-law, Morgan, was the deacon of missions, and he's the one that started the silver box. So, all right, let me see if we, okay. So what am I doing now? I am the elder of a congregation of 19. Now, we are keeping up with Sand Springs, though. Because I think, how many song leaders do you have? About three or four? We have three. We have three song leaders. Thanks to Bob, I'm one of them. And then we just added a new one. So I lead singing. Last week I had to preach. Our preacher's in the hospital right now. But take care of this little congregation in Independence, Kansas. And we live in Elk City, Kansas. We've been there now for a little over 2 years. So the theme at our congregation this year has been the Sermon on the Mount, and we've been walking through that, scene by scene, episode by episode, topic by topic, as Jesus talked on the Mount. And if you remember, one thing he talked about is adultery. And he said that, you know, it's been said that when you're with a woman, that's adultery. But I'm going to say to you that when you look upon a woman with lust, that's adultery. He also said, it's been said that if you're angry with a person that physically, then that's bad. But I say to you, even if you feel anger in your heart, then that's bad. So what was Jesus trying to do? He was trying to shift the law from visual things to things of the heart so that people truly felt things in their heart. Now, so this is Matthew 6, and so this is where Jesus talks about treasures. And I don't know if I knew this, but there's more mention of our wealth and treasures in the New Testament than there is about faith and other spiritual things. It's kind of interesting. And so we've been thinking about that because how you handle your money is an indication of how you are as a Christian. I think it's a good barometer of your spiritual life. So it says here, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Now, he transitions, and this was what I talked about last week during the sermon, but he transitions, and he does this a lot in the Sermon on the Mount. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, Other versions say single, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, that is, sinful, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. Now, this is about self-deception. Well, one mode of self-deception is, I give a lot of money to the church. But what's the heart saying? What is your heart saying? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. 1 John 3:17, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? And finally, Galatians 6:9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Another version says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Well, what's all this got to do with mission work in Africa? It's because I'm preaching to myself. I send a lot of money to Africa, but sometimes my heart is not right. For instance, let me get into the pictures here, and I'll show you a couple of cases. So this is where we work. So Western Africa, and I hope I get this not out of a slideshow, and you might have to drop it out and turn the slideshow off. Okay, yeah, if you would, drop it out and turn off the slideshow mode. Okay, good. All right, so, well, not sure here. All right, get me back to the Africa site. So we're in Western Africa, this is Liberia. And by the way, so this work started in this congregation in 2011 when I was the deacon of mission. I had some extra money in the budget. And as you know, I'm sure this congregation still supports the School of Biblical Studies in Jos, Nigeria. And so that's over to the right. Well, they had these students from Liberia, and here's the first picture of them at the School of Biblical Studies. Now, the only one that kind of still looks the same is far, far left. That's Randolph. Jonathan, he's grown, and Lennon, his brother's grown, and Calvin's a cousin that preaches elsewhere. And that's Uncle Tengba. I cannot remember his name, but he had to quit and go back home. But he lives way out in the middle of nowhere towards, you know, even farther west, and heads up a congregation out there. We've been there. It's a long trip. Well, here's an example. Randolph on the far left. I don't support Randolph, but everybody knows if you talk to Greg, you'll get some money. So now I support Randolph a little bit. He needs $300 a year, takes care of him to go preach on Sundays. He's a teacher, but on Sundays he travels and preaches. But sometimes I feel resentment when he asks for money. Recently was just $60 to renew the registration on his vehicle. And I'm getting upset. So you see, I'm preaching to myself today. I need to work on my heart. And that's difficult to do. I'm not sure how to go about doing that. But at least I'm aware that that needs to change. But Randolph's a great guy, great preacher. So these were the students when they were at School of Biblical Studies in Jos, Nigeria. Is Connie here today? No, Connie's not here. So Connie's parents kind of helped. Their son was actually responsible for the person that kind of started that school in Nigeria. And now it's been there almost 40 years. And it's the best thing that's ever happened in Africa. The best thing we ever did in Africa is to go and build Bible colleges. Because we talk, you know, everybody calls me a missionary. I'm not a missionary. I don't have to be a missionary. We just need to provide money to put students through school so that when they graduate, they go back to their own countries in Africa and they become preachers. In fact, there's another Bible college down near the capital that's supported by the Robertson family. And I was there on a graduation and did some speaking. And So one of those graduates went back to Sierra Leone recently. This is in the last few weeks. And in one campaign, started a congregation of 38 people. Just like that. Instant congregation in the middle of nowhere. All because we've supported Bible colleges in Africa. Don't need any missionaries. We've got in-country preachers. So Jonathan's goal right now is to, before he retires, and he's just in his 30s, is to plant a congregation in every county in Liberia. And he's getting close already. Okay, so I went to the graduation of the students there in 2015 in Nigeria. And then they immediately went back to Nigeria and started a church. So in no time, they had, I think this was around 110 members. And this is the old building. It's up the hill where the complex is now. And I remember we started this building, $600 a month rent. And the owner got jealous, didn't like it, kicked us out. So we had to go. We went and built our own building. Well, the building's still sitting there, not used. It's falling apart. The paint, the pink paint is still there. The Church of Christ sign is still there. But this is where it all started. When they graduated in May of 2015, they went back and started this congregation. It's probably 200 members now. So this is what's going on right now. So additional classrooms have been completed. A radio station was purchased. Now, this was purchased by Larry Murdoch of Voice of Truth International. And it broadcasts 24-hour Christian news, commentary, and all Christian. There's a tract printing shop that was paid for by World Evangelism down in Alabama. That's been set up printing tracts for the surrounding countries and probably will, in no time, print for a lot of people. We just finished refurbishing the campus, the main building, which, you know, it's like a lot of international, you know, you go to their, they build something new and they never keep it up. And so I said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to get our building back up. And now it's, you know, nice and remodeled. The money for it that comes from today is going to do the last requirement for the school. You see, the school has been very successful. And so successful that, I don't know, it just causes people to act in a certain way. And so the Board of Education, the government Board of Education, is coming. And well, first of all, we had to build a fence. Fence is done. The bathroom for the kids is done. And this is the last thing. And recently they came, and Jonathan, well, he didn't do very well with this one. He does pretty good, but he sent them packing. After 2 hours of talking about this, they wanted to shut the school down because we have no playground. So that's what we're going to do with anything that you give today. And that will take care of the Board of Education. Now, not only will the $2,500 get us started, but it's going to level the land. Because what are we going to do? Jonathan wants more classrooms. Because right now, the younger grades meet in the auditorium. So think of first grade through third or fourth grade meeting in here, wild, running around, breaking things, and so we're trying to get them into their own classrooms. And then finally, after 4 years, the preacher's house is just a couple weeks from being completed. So this is the kind of the entrance to the main academy, Church of Christ Academy. It's a tuition-free school that the kids do not pay to go to, and that's why there's over 500 kids registered for this school. Every other school in the area charges tuition, so they have to pay to come. Our school, they do not. So here is the compound as it was in 2021, which is the last time I went, and I hope to go this year in October. I need to go. I haven't been since 2021 when I took these pictures. So this was an aerial view of the campus, so I'm going to kind of go through and update here, but this was... this is the four-classroom building that was built. You can see the fence was being installed at this time. So it's done. And on the right here, which is kind of interesting, see, Jonathan doesn't tell me everything. And he keeps what you call the small. That's saying small amounts of money, okay? If he can cut a deal with a builder and save a little bit of money, he puts it in his pocket. Well, notice this is what he did with it. He built this, and it's been sitting there forever. It was started, well, it finally finished it, and I'm so happy because there is no shade at that building. And I'm going to pull up a chair, and I'm going to sit inside there in the shade. But it's where the kids can come and gather, so that's what he uses the extra money for. So very, very nice. And that's Marshall in the white shirt. That's the main preacher of the congregation. Jonathan's not the preacher. He's just the head of the team. Okay, so that's kind of looking across. So here's a fence. And, of course, the fence is built to keep kids safe. It's been a bad month for them in Liberia because Jonathan's uncle, who runs another school just up the road, he got hit in an accident. He was injured. And then Harriet, who is actually Jonathan's little sister, but he's kind of her father, she's running and fell and broke her hand in the fence. I said, well, that's not keeping kids safe. So she's recovering, and then one of the teachers just got hit. So we're dealing with some medical issues right now. All right, this is five classrooms and a teacher room, computer lab. I don't know how they're going to split it up, but it's being used now right now as classrooms. And so this was back in 2021, and this is what it looks like today. So completely finished, and more classrooms. Not why they didn't put little kids out there and put the big kids in, I'm not sure. But so we're trying to do this, build the more classrooms out in this field that you'll see shortly. So that's from the end. And the new restroom being built. And of course, you know, just for your information, so everything is built. The foundation is cement. But the bricks, the other bricks that you see, the brown, those are all made out of mud. They just churn up the ground. I mean, the dirt right there, you could churn that up, add water to it, put it in a brick mold, and you'd have mud bricks. And that's what the walls are built of. I don't know how the roofs stay together. Ted, you need to go over there and teach them how to build a roof. I've tried to take screws, at least screws, but no, they like to use nails and hammers, and they just keep hammering that nail into that hard wood until it bends, and then they're done. So the restroom is right here. That's the location of the restroom. So this is where the playground's going to be. So back behind everything is an empty field, and we've kind of started things out there before. But this is the area that when it's leveled, the classrooms are going to be off where those high bushes are, and then the playground's going to be in the lower part. And that's me there struggling to play soccer in 2021. That was kind of rough. But this is where the playground is going to be. And what's funny is Jonathan says, well, I'm going to have a teeter-totter. I said, Jonathan, you can't have 200 kids waiting in line on one teeter-totter. So you got to have more. So we're going to try to get more out there. And they do tetherball, but they have some name for it. Okay, so this is the new entrance. That was just new. They put up this new entry sign, and they put the name of the student council on there. But this, you know, this is where the building came from. Groundbreaking was in 2016, and because of this congregation, this building was completed. I couldn't have done this, and so between some individual contributions, this congregation and me, we got this finished, and it is the largest church building in Liberia that's used for public events, just like the fellowship room across the street. So this is Marshall preaching, and so I'm just showing you the podium. So this recent remodeling effort, you can see it's just covered with carpet, and we got that done with, very nice tile. And, you know, all the fans are working now, all the lights are working. Got to get those little kids out of there, though, because that won't last long. The entrance, this front entrance area where you see these kind of slabs used to be grating, and it never happened. But it was made out of rebar, and the bars would break off, and I could just see kids falling in there and breaking their ankles. And never happened, but now we've got them covered so that there's no injuries. But that's the entrance. The soffits, the frontage, all been renewed. And this is kind of a video that he's going to scan across, but this you can see where all the, and that's the principal right there. That's Jonathan's mother. She's the principal. But, you know, everything is renewed, and these are where the young kids then split up, you know, by blackboard areas and have their classes inside. Doors were broken. Building, you know, some of the doors have been broken through, broken into. So all that's new, and, you know, it's something that the congregation can be, you know, proud to go to. You know, I always like to tell this story. So back in, 2017, and you can see the grading there. That's the grading. See the holes in the grading? This eyesore sat in front of the building. People lived in this. And these members of the church, okay? Well, you know, we wanted to get rid of this eyesore because it doesn't look nice, right? I mean, look at this. People coming from the village. So we said, look, we'll build you a new house if you let us have this one. And so that's what we did. It's just over the rise, and of course, I like to go knock on the door because, you know, they know me, but this house cost $2,500. And the saying here, mat to mattress, meaning we took them off the floor and got them on beds. And so it's just a success story. Well, here's Marshall. So I took this picture in 2021. Now, we had his land purchased before then, and so we're going to build you a house, Marshall. Never got to it. Here's what mud bricks look like when the rain hits them and they get spoiled. And so we're just, and the congregation is just overjoyed because it's the congregation that wanted the preacher to have a house. And so now it's finally come to fruition, and there's the foundation. So you can see the foundation bricks are cement. They're all handmade right there on site. And I always find it interesting because they never clean out until the end. So they kind of make the foundation around the mounds of dirt, and then in the end they finally clean it out. So there's your mud bricks. I mean, it's sturdy. It's got made out of cement, and you can see rebar in the corners. So it's almost done. And I guess that's what you would call joist. So this is hand-sawn wood, and it has to dry out, but you can see how that it's bending, it's screwed together, nailed together in the center. And a lot of times when they have a heavy storm, you know, we're replacing roofs. So that's what the house looks like, and it will soon be finished. I'm sure the zinc, the metal roof is on it now. So, like I said, radio station, broadcasting full-time, continuously. I get involved with repairs, but Larry Murdaugh takes care of this, and I hope to be able to take over a new transmitter in when I go. So we had a ribbon cutting for this. And here's Jonathan. This is when this year, was running for office. I want to tell you about this because he was running for the 8th District Representative, equivalent to a congressman, state congressman. And he didn't win, and I didn't support it because I didn't want to spend money on an election and then have him not get elected, which is what happened. But it's the closest any candidate has ever come to winning an election. He had the incumbent running scared, but the incumbent had more money, of course, because, you know, he's using government development money to pay off people. So, yeah, he's in again for another 6 years. But come 6 years, Jonathan's probably going to get elected. I mean, tremendous support. The incumbent did nothing, had nothing to show for 6 years in office. They always go off and build him a big house. Now, if Jonathan wants to do that, if he wins, I said, Jonathan, now let's be careful here. Because he does really deserve a house. He does not have anything of his own. He lives in a room in the main building. So we've got the radio station. Now, this is probably the best thing we've done this far. It's the farm. And I want to tell you the background here a little bit, because you got to be ready to jump on deals in Liberia. So what happened is there was a village chief and his son threatened somebody. And nothing, you know, he didn't do it. He didn't carry through on the threat. But a couple of days later, the guy who he made the threat to fell out of a tree and died. Well, the African way is, that's your fault. And so this village chief had to come up with $5,000 to pay for this boy's death. And, you know, here we'd say, oh, I didn't get to pay no $5,000, but there it's honor and their tradition. So we scraped together $5,000 and bought this 250 acres. And the problem was that we had a politician, same politician located here and here. Well, this politician didn't like this, so the politician said, I'll give you the 350 acres if you give me your 250 acres. That's what happened. So there's our farm, 350 acres, 100 free acres for $5,000. So this is, it goes clear over to this hill. I don't know how far. Jonathan, I've got to teach him how to take pictures. His pictures are too close. He needs to step back. All I know is he's challenged me. He says, I can't climb that hill, and I'm going to show him that I can. He calls me the old man from Kansas. So it's been planted in rubber trees. There's a rubber tree right there in the foreground. Right there, there's a rubber tree. And so they're planted every few feet. 62,000 rubber trees across most of the 350 acres. Not all is planted in rubber trees. Now, by American standards, sorry, Bob, this is a bad investment. But let me tell you more. Let me tell you more. I'm going to have to work for the next 6 or 7 years so these rubber trees will grow and start producing rubber. But after that, $5,000 a month to begin with, in full production, $12,000 a month. And for how long? 40 years. These rubber trees will produce for 40 years, and I can retire. So rubber trees, and it takes $4,500 every quarter. So every quarter I come up with $4,500 to clear and spray to keep the trees going. Some of them get eaten. We have to replace them, but eventually they're going to be looking like this. So these trees are on, I guess you could call it an adoptive grandfather of Jonathan's. He wants to actually give Jonathan this farm, but Jonathan says no, because as soon as he'd take it, this guy's kids would come and kill him. Because Jonathan, you know, is adoptive. He's got kids of his own, but he wants Jonathan to have this. He said no. So here's 10-year-old trees. And you can see the little rubber cups that where the latex is collected. And this is what it looks like. You shave the tree. I don't know how often you have to do a little shaving, but the rubber runs down into a little plastic cup. And then that's collected, brought to a central area. There's a chemical that's put on it, and then the trucks come around to collect the rubber. Now, that is a problem for us because at some point in time, a road has to be built. They're not going to come and get our rubber unless we have a road, and that's going to cost $15,000. Jonathan came the other day and says, hey, we got a chance here. The yellow machines are in the area. Can we build this road? I said, Jonathan, sorry, can't build the road right now. But it's got to be there if we're going to sell the rubber. But this is what it looks like. So the future. Now, what you've seen, it started in 2016 and continues to grow. So they've started a village at the farm. I can't remember the African name, but it means hope. It's hope for the future. The nice thing about a village is when you start a village, the government will pay for the town hall. So a town hall is being built right now by the government. And then we've got a plan to build buildings and houses because those are people that are going to work on the farm. So you can see how this expands and people are helped. Mentioned the congregation in every county. There was another 4 acres that was a good deal, so we purchased this 4 acres a long time ago. And there's somebody out here in the brotherhood that goes and builds Bible colleges. And I'm going to need to get a hold of them because that's perfect location for a Bible college. And then in 6 years, Jonathan becoming District 8. That means so much because they pay their politicians a lot of money. And they also give them development funds. So he'll be able to go and develop, truly use that money for development. Now the important thing, here's the important thing. He'll be the first Christian politician ever. And he hopes to be the start of that as a pattern. And I think he will, in fact, do a good job in representing the country. So that's what's happening in Liberia. But that's not the only work that I do. I'll just give you a quick update. But when I went to Nigeria in 2015, I met Justice. And Justice, he's just a unique guy, and we connected. And so I've known him ever since. I support him on a monthly basis. And he is a representative of the church that goes out and works with area congregations. Okay? You wouldn't believe how many congregations there are of the church in this area. And if you know what's going on in Nigeria right now, daily Christians are being killed by Muslims. And Church of Christ congregations and families and preachers are being displaced, and they're coming into larger cities. And so Justice just kind of completed a study of all the preachers affected by this, and you know, we're trying to reach out and find some organizations that might be able to provide some funds to support these preachers until they can get back on their feet. So Justice does this full time. He works with a team called the Church of Christ Christian Outreach Team. You can find them on Facebook. So they go out and do various things. When I have the money, we can budget. One time we did a medical mission. So they rented some medical students, brought them out, had a day of evangelism and helping with basic needs. And so he's done that. And then also he goes out and he preaches for area congregations. And when we can, we repair floors, repair roofs, get chairs for congregations in the area. But there's just a lot of congregations. I think he went out and interviewed, I want to say, 30 preachers in just that area, with congregations all larger than, you know, Independence, Kansas. So this is what Justice does, and I support him in that work. And then, you know, we kind of started this annual tradition. It's inexpensive, doesn't cost too much, but it brings together the area congregations for a soccer tournament, connects them. It publicizes the Church of Christ Christian Outreach Team and what they do. So that it's just worked out really good. So I'm also working there in Nigeria. All right, so that's kind of an update. Now, if you're joining for lunch, I've got some more. I'll put on a slideshow over there. You know, I didn't get to talk about culture and food and all that, but you can come over and see pictures of all the stuff I've eaten, like chicken and rice. That's the staple. But then when it's possible, then they get stuff like python. So I had python one time. And then grass cutter, that's a groundhog. It's all called bush meat. And I'm so happy when I come because when I can't chew that chicken, it's so tough, I'm always happy when the dog's right there under the table. So I invite you to come and ask any questions you might have. So just remember, yeah, I send money, but I don't do it with a clean heart sometimes. And I guess the thing for us to think about is this series of sermons in Independence has really caused Terry and I to think. I mean, what does it mean to have riches? Does that mean we don't do hobbies? We don't spend money on this or that? And it's made us really think. But for me, it's I send money, but is it with the right heart? That's the point. So consider that in your own life. Do you treasure things on earth? It's like my friend says, do you have one foot in the world and another foot in heaven? Because that's not good. That's not what Jesus wants. He wants both feet in heaven in his work dedicated. So if you need prayers right now or have any other need, we just ask you to come forward now as we stand and sing.
I want to be a worker.